Is Theosophy a Religion? By H.P. Blavatsky. Bite 1. Theosophy, we say, is not a religion. Yet there are, as everyone knows, certain beliefs, philosophical, religious, and scientific, which have become so closely associated in recent years with the word theosophy, that they have come to be taken by the general public for theosophy itself. Moreover, we shall be told these beliefs have been put forward, explained, and defended by those very founders who have declared that theosophy is not a religion. What is then the explanation of this apparent contradiction? How can a certain body of beliefs and teachings and elaborate doctrine, in fact, be labeled theosophy and be tacitly accepted as theosophical by 9/10 of the members of the TS if theosophy is not a religion, we are asked? To explain this is the first purpose of this present protest. It is perhaps necessary, first of all, to say that the assertion that theosophy is not a religion by no means excludes the fact that theosophy is religion itself. A religion in the true and only correct sense is a bond uniting men together, not a particular set of dogmas and beliefs. Now, religion per se, in its widest meaning, is that which binds not only all men, but also all beings and all things in the entire universe into one grand whole. Thus, theosophy is not a religion, we say, but religion itself, the one bond of unity, which is so universal and all-embracing that no man is no speck, from gods and mortals down to animals, the blade of grass and atom, can be outside of its light. Therefore, any organization or body of that name must necessarily be a universal brotherhood. Bite 2. Its doctrines, if seriously studied, call forth, by stimulating one's reasoning powers and awakening the inner in the animal man, every hitherto dormant power for good in us, and also the perception of the true and the real, as opposed to the false and the unreal, tearing off with no uncertain hand the thick veil of dead letter with which every old religious scripture were cloaked, scientific theosophy, learned in the cunning symbolism of the ages, reveals to the scoffer at old wisdom the origin of the world's faiths and sciences. It opens new vistas beyond the old horizons of crystallized, motionless, and despotic faiths, and turning blind belief into a reasoned knowledge bound on mathematical laws, the only exact science. It demonstrates to him, under profounder and more philosophical aspects, the existence of that which, repelled by the grossness of its dead letter form, he had not long since abandoned as a nursery tale. It gives a clear and well-defined object, an ideal to live for, to every sincere man or woman belonging to whatever station in society and of whatever culture and degree of intellect. Practical theosophy is not one science, but embraces every science in life, moral and physical. It may, in short, be justly regarded as the universal coach, a tutor of worldwide knowledge and experience, and of an erudition which not only assists and guides his pupils toward a successful examination for every scientific or moral surface in earthly life, but fits them for the lives to come. Those pupils will only study the universe and its mysteries within themselves instead of studying them through the spectacles of orthodox science and religions. Bite 3. The just published secret doctrine will show what were the ideas of all antiquity with regard to the primeval instructors of primitive man and his early races. The genesis of that wisdom religion in which all theosophists believed dates from that period. So-called occultism, or rather esoteric science, has to be traced in its origin to those beings who, led by karma, have incarnated in our humanity and thus struck the keynote of that secret science which countless generations of subsequent adepts have expanded since then in every age, while they checked its doctrines by personal observation and experience. The bulk of this knowledge, which no man is able to possess in its fullness, constitutes that which we now call theosophy or divine knowledge. Beings from other and higher worlds may have it entire. We can have it only approximately. Thus, unity of everything in the universe implies and justifies our belief in the existence of a knowledge at once scientific, philosophical, and religious, showing the necessity and actuality of the connection of man and all things in the universe with each other, which knowledge therefore becomes essentially religion and must be called in its integrity and universality by the distinctive name of wisdom religion. It is from this wisdom religion that all the various individual religions, erroneously so called, have sprung, forming in their offshoots and branches, and also all the main minor creeds based upon and always originated through some personal experience in psychology. Every such religion or religious offshoot, be it considered orthodox or heretical, wise or foolish, started originally as a clear and unadulterated stream from the mother source. The fact that each became in time polluted with purely human speculations and even inventions due to the interested motives does not prevent any from having been pure in its early beginnings. There are those creeds, we shall not call them religions, which have now been overlaid with the human element out of all recognition, others just showing signs of early decay, not one that escaped the hand of time. Bite 4. Thus were born all prehistoric as well as all the historic religions, Mazdaism, Brahmanism, Buddhism and Christianity, Judaism, Gnosticism, and Mohammedanism. In short, every more or less successful ism. All are true at the bottom and all are false on their surface. The revealer, the artist who impressed a portion of the truth on the brain of the seer, was in every instance a true artist who gave out genuine truths, but the instrument proved also in every instance to be only a man. Invite Rubinstein and ask him to play a sonata of Beethoven on a piano left to self-tuning, one half of the keys of which are in chronic paralysis while the wires hang loose, then see whether the genius of the artist notwithstanding, you will be able to recognize the sonata. The moral of the fabula is that a man, let him be the greatest of mediums or natural seers, is but a man. And man left to his own devices and speculations must be out of tune with absolute truth, while even picking up some of its crumbs. For man is but a fallen angel, a god within, but having an animal brain in his head more subject to cold and wine fumes while in the company with other men on earth, than to the faultless reception of divine revelations. Hence the multicolored dogmas of the churches, hence also the 1,001 philosophies, so-called, some contradictory, theosophical theories included, and the variegated sciences and schemes, spiritual, mental, Christian, and secular, sectarianism and bigotry, and especially the personal vanity and self-opinionatedness of almost every innovator, since the medieval ages. These have all darkened and hidden the very existence of truth, the common root of all. Will our critics imagine that we exclude theosophical teachings from this nomenclature? Not at all. And though the esoteric doctrines which our society has been and is expounding are not mental or spiritual impressions from some unknown from above, but the fruit of teachings given to us by living men, still, except that which was dictated and written out by those masters of wisdom themselves, these doctrines may be in many cases as incomplete and faulty as any of our foes would desire it. Bite 5. Theosophy claims to be both religion and science, for theosophy is the essence of both. It is for the sake and love of the two divine abstractions, theosophical religion and science, that its society has become the volunteer scavenger of both orthodox religion and modern science, as also the relentless nemesis of those who have degraded the two noble truths to their own ends and purposes, and then divorced each violently from the other, though the two are and must be one. To prove this is also one of our objects in the present paper. The modern materialist insists on an impassable chasm between the two, pointing out that the conflict between religion and science has ended in the triumph of the latter and the defeat of the first. The modern theosophist refuses to see, on the contrary, any such chasm at all. If it is claimed by both church and science that each of them pursues the truth and nothing but the truth, then either one of them is mistaken and accepts falsehood for truth, or both. Any other impediment to the reconciliation must be set down as purely fictitious. Truth is one, even if sought for or pursued at two different ends. Therefore, theosophy claims to reconcile the two foes. Its premises by saying that the true spiritual and primitive Christian religion is, as much as the other great and still older philosophies that preceded it, the light of truth, the light and life of men. But so is the true light of science, therefore darkened as the former is now by dogmas examined through the glasses smoked with the superstitions artificially produced by the churches, this light can hardly penetrate and meet its sister ray in a science equally as cobwebbed by paradoxes and materialistic sophistries of the age. The teachings of the two are incompatible and cannot agree, so long as both religious philosophy and the science of physical and external, in philosophy false nature, insist upon infallibility of their respective will of the wisps. The two lights having their beams of equal length in the matter of false deductions, can but extinguish each other and produce still worse darkness. Yet they can be reconciled on the condition that both shall clean their houses, one from the human dross of the ages, the other from the hideous excrescence of modern materialism and atheism. And as both decline, the most meritorious and best thing to do is precisely what theosophy alone can and will do, point out to the innocents caught by the glue of the two waylayers, verily two dragons of old, one devouring the intellects, the other the souls of men, that their supposed chasm is but an optical delusion, that far from being one, it is but an immense garbage mound respectfully erected by the two foes as a fortification against mutual attacks. Thus, if theosophy does no more than point out and seriously draw the attention of the world to the fact that the supposed disagreement between religion and science is conditioned, on the one hand, by the intelligent materialists rightly kicking against absurd human dogmas, and on the other, by blind fanatics and interested churchmen who, instead of defending the souls of mankind, fight simply tooth and nail for their personal bread and butter and authority, why, even then, theosophy will prove itself the savior of mankind.